Welcome back, everyone, to the Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. If you have any questions you would like addressed on future programs, send me off an email to questions@remnantofgod.org. If you would like copies of today's program or any past programs, click the Antique Radios on the main page of the website and surf to the archive section from that page. You can listen online to past programs, or if you prefer, you can download them for free, as MP3s, that is. All right, let's get back to what we were talking about right before the break. I'm just about finished up on this particular part of the broadcast, and I hope to get to some of your emails at the end, but we'll see how that goes. And thank you again for the emails. I'm sorry I've been a little bit behind in that, but then again, what's been happening in the in reality is kind of like putting things on the back burner. And some of you have already suggested that you really don't mind. So, all right, anyway. I want to read that one little excerpt from that article again that came out of the LifeSite News in regards to that retired professor seeking state control over religion, especially Catholicism. And he goes on to say, like I mentioned him before the break, that he said, "I envision a Congress meeting to hammer out a code that would form the basis of legislation to regulate the practice of religion, like the professional engineers, you know, their PNG. Designation there would be RRPs, or Registered Religious Practitioners, to carry the analogy to its conclusion. No one could be a religious practitioner without this qualification." You know, when this obviously satanically inspired idea comes to fruition, and it will, you will then see how they will no longer have to worry about creating new laws to try and control those that use that hateful Bible. If you regulate the preacher, then you need not worry about his message, the conversion of souls away from Rome, which will result in the loss of votes, which will in turn cause a loss of money, the real God of Rome. Those that step out of line, well, then all you got to worry about is how you get them into the jails or under the guillotines, right? You know, so once regulation of church starts, which is actually fulfillment of Revelation 13:14. You will then see Sunday laws around the world. Once they get that image of the beast enforced or created in these countries, and it's no doubt going to happen right here in the United States of America first, thanks to Pat Robertson pushing it forward, who is in fact a short-robed Jesuit. He is doing it for the Vatican. If you think Pat Robertson is a Protestant, think again. And by the way, this will not stop those Christians of today that were prophesied to walk in the same spirit of Elijah that John the Baptist embraced so long ago. Strange how uneducated a professor can actually be, and how gullible governing officials truly are. Satan couldn't stop John the Baptist, or any prophet for that matter, in the past with such rules and regulations on men. What makes them think he's going to be able to do that today? You know, against those of us that preach truth today. I mean, you can hammer on all the laws you want. You can even jail or even kill those the Lord sends your way to help you find the real truth. I mean, they're actually coming to help you because they love you, and then you kill them for it. You're still not going to be able to, you're never going to move the elect to go against the will of the very God that created all that you see and don't see. I mean, you're not going to stop the elect. Sure, you're going to get some of the Christians to clam up out of fear. And that is what Rome and the United States of America hope will happen. Sadly, they are able to do that only because these Christians haven't allowed the Lord to educate them in all areas of trust as of yet. Or should I say, they haven't been divinely registered as of yet. So keep those Christians. See, this is one of the reasons you got to draw nigh now to the Lord, so that he'll draw nigh to you. You have to have that relationship with Christ now, when it's legal. By the time it becomes illegal, you'll have such a relationship with him, you'll have such an ability to look back and see the things that you've gone through in life and how he has helped you through every single one of them, that when the day comes when they stick a gun in your face or have that guillotine flying from, you know, the blade falling from above, you'll truly trust the Lord. You'll know that, hey, if he's allowing this, it's because it's to glorify him. You'll know that everything's okay. All is well with my soul, as the song says. If you don't have the relationship now, I suggest you start getting it as fast as you can. We don't know how much time we have to get close to him. So take advantage of this time. If you have 5-10 years, praise the Lord. Could you imagine how much of a relationship you'll have with him by then if it's 5-10 years? See, this is one of the reasons the devil's going to start moving things a little quicker, is because he knows if you get that relationship, it's going to be extremely impossible for him to sway you either way. Now, on to the other topic I wanted to touch on this week, okay? Well, here, let me just read the headline. United States and Pope, or the United States says, Pope should be immune from sex cover-up lawsuit. This is out of the Associated Press. It says, the U.S. government has told a Texas court that Pope Benedict XVI should be given immunity from a lawsuit accusing him of conspiring to cover up the sexual molestation of three boys by a seminarian, court documents show. Assistant U.S. Attorney General Peter Keisler said in Monday's filing that as Pope Benedict enjoys immunity as the head of state, the Vatican, he said, allowing the lawsuit to proceed would be incompatible with the United States' foreign policy interests. There was no immediate ruling from Judge Lee Rosenthal of U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Texas in Houston, who has been presiding over the case. However, the Supreme Court has held that U.S. courts are bound by such suggestions of immunity, motion submitted by the government, Kaiser filing says. A 1994 lawsuit against Pope John Paul II, also filed in Texas, was dismissed after the U.S. government filed a similar motion. So, think of it. A criminal act is performed on a child in the United States of America. In the American government, who is sworn to protect those children, seeks to let the criminal off scot-free simply because he is a religious leader. Do we need any more evidence that Rome has complete and utter control over the United States government? The lamb horn beast, which is the United States of America, of Revelation 13, is most assuredly blessed, and or blessing, rather, the beast in Rome, with all that prophecy said it would. The actual truth of the matter is, people, that the USA government is nothing more than a Roman Catholic-controlled puppet giving Rome all the bells and whistles it requires in these last days. Rome cannot move in a forceful manner without the strength of the American puppet. Think about that for a moment. Rome is a puny, minuscule little nation. It has no army other than the very few flashy dressed Vatican guards. It has no real commodity any nation would clamor for. Its dollar has no value to speak of. It actually has nothing whatsoever to offer anyone outside of tourism of the Vatican, which, by the way, is nothing more than a museum filled with stolen goods. The USA, on the other hand, has a massive army. It has the ability to make good on its threats. It can and has destroyed nations that refuse to agree with Rome. And it is common knowledge. It protects Rome. The American lawmakers actually pass laws that benefit Rome often. The grand majority of law passers in our country are Roman Catholic. And when the Vatican gets caught killing, molesting, or robbing people, the American judges gag the media to prevent them from reporting the crimes so as to prevent public outcry. Plus, the American judges openly drag their feet in the Ustashi lawsuits, hoping those suing the Vatican for heinous and murderous war crimes will die off before the ironclad evidence forces the big payoff. I've got a whole page on the website in the current events section dedicated to the Roman Catholic lawsuits in regards to Ustashi and how they were involved in helping Hitler kill people. Pretty graphically, well, there's some of the articles on that page would bring tears to your eyes, some of the stuff they did. Like, for example, the one that comes to my memory is where a Roman Catholic priest won a contest one night. They were having these contests to see who can kill the most people without using bullets because they needed the bullets for the war effort. So this Roman Catholic priest was able to kill 1,500 men, women, and children in one night using a machete in one hand and I think a baseball bat or a club in the other. Think of that, folks. A Catholic priest going around just killing people and winning a contest. And it's all outlined in those articles. And for those of you that think it's all a joke, it's all some right-wing conspiracy or something, contact the lawyers that are handling the lawsuits. Their phone numbers, their addresses, their email, everything's right there on that page. They have given me 100% permission to post these things on the website. They email me on a regular basis with this stuff. Anyway, just in the last few decades, we have seen the Vatican, its priests, and most assuredly its popes, getting away with a bevy of crimes around the world, and especially right here in the United States. Just a few that come to mind are, how about the thousands of violent rapes on children over the last few decades? Or just child molestation, for that matter. Because that's two different things. You got child rape, and then you got child molestation. And then you got physical child abuse that they've been convicted of and gotten away with. Or how about serving alcohol to children on church property in Chicago? I remember reading the article about that. I mean, the guy that they, it kind of happened in a haphazard kind of a way. This one guy who was picking up or dropping off his babysitter or something like that. He was a columnist for the Chicago Tribune or the Sun-Times. I can't remember which one it is. I have the article on the website in a couple of places. But he was taking the, you know, the babysitter home after him and his wife went out somewhere. It was like 1 or 2 in the morning. And as he's driving by the, this Roman Catholic church, dozens of these teenagers came filing out of the church, just urinating on all the girls and guys were doing it all over the place. And they stopped him at, in the middle of the room. They're banging on his car and rocking and stuff. And these all these Catholic kids were drunk because of a party their priest held in that church basement. I remember the article. It's something about the Catholic Church needs to go on the wagon or something like that. I don't know. But it's on the website. I got a new search engine on the website that's dedicated on the server, which means it's mine. It's not one of those kind you can those free ones that you get with all the advertising. It's an actual search engine that's built into the server now. So it's easy enough to find this stuff. Anyway, getting back, some of the other crimes that come to mind that they have gotten away with is like mass murder, embezzlement, smuggling, war crimes, manufacturing of date rape drugs. And by the way, everything I'm mentioning here is documented on the website, either on the Quickie page or the Roman Catholic in the news pages. Or I mean, it's all over the place. Drive-by shootings. That one radio announcer was the Vatican did a drive-by on him because he was exposing the Vatican. He wasn't doing it in a very Christ-like manner, to say the least. I mean, he was a DJ, but he was making fun of some of the things that they were doing, and he was letting people know exactly what they were doing. He was using documented evidence, and they did a drive-by on him, and the first time they missed, the second time they got him, they killed him on his front lawn. The Vatican's been allowed to jam radio signals around entire cities. That happened back a few years ago when Pope John Paul was invited to Canada. They shut down radio signals so that no one could phone in or phone out or something like that. I don't know the reasons for it. Plus, some of the priests have been busted and gotten away with distributing methamphetamine or ecstasy to teenagers. There's been money laundering going on in the Vatican. Organized crime right there. I mean, that's where it was invented. The castration of young men so that their voices would stay young for their choirs. They just stopped doing that, I think, in the 50s. The indecent exposures, I mean, everything from, it's just this, I don't even want to get into that, but and plus prostitution. They've gotten away with stuff like that. So what amazes me here is that Cardinal Law, for example, was also allowed to get away with what he did. However, he had to go through the court system to some extent, did he not? And after his forced resignation and public humiliation, he was literally promoted by the Vatican. He was promoted to a position of honor. Isn't a cardinal, by the way, seriously, isn't a cardinal considered a foreign entity as well? Why aren't all the cardinals and all the bishops given diplomatic immunity then? Why is it only Cardinal Ratzinger is given immunity? I understand he's a pope and considered a head of state, and that convenient Roman Catholic suggested law does play in his favor now. But am I mistaken when assuming that those under heads of state also enjoy this immunity? So why is it Ratzinger is given this immunity and not Cardinal Law or any of the others? The only reason I can come up with is he, like John Paul II before him, want to put up the facade that they are squeaky clean in this molestation scandal and thereby still considered holy in the eyes of the flock they control because he's a pope. Oh, he can do no wrong now. He's infallible. We must keep this squeaky clean or pure-looking pope image out there. We have to keep him away from all this garbage and say, look, he can only grieve when he sees his men doing these things. Strange thing is, he's doing it too. You know? And now we have evidence. If they allow this evidence, it would cause way too much negative press for the Vatican if their pope is involved in such a lawsuit. This is why John Paul II and Benedict XVI are kept out of the picture. They can shake their heads and act as if they have no connection in the scandal, and at the same time come off looking as if they are disgusted and grieving, as I said a moment ago, by all that's happening, along with the rest of us. That way they can still be looked up to. You know, the thing is, this will work. I mean, sure, some of us are going to go, oh, come on, you know, and some of the people are going to be a little bit, and Catholics are going to leave, yes. But the grand majority aren't. Most people have short memories when it comes to garbage like this. After a few weeks, this will all be forgotten, and this new pope will once again come off looking as prim and proper as all the previous Roman Catholic gods on earth. Because, folks, that's what they call him. Whether they want to admit it or not, the prelates claim, and the Pope himself claim, that he is a god on earth. Go to the Words of the Beast page on the website. I've got dozens of quotes from actual Roman Catholic documentation. See, this is the sad thing, folks, about your Catholic neighbors and loved ones. They don't know this stuff's in writing. And then when you show it to them, sadly, some of them choose not to believe it, even though it's on Vatican stationery. It's on the Vatican website. It's right there before them. Why? Because this is the whore of Babylon. Babylon's prelates were considered gods on earth. This is why Caesar was called a god on earth, and this is why I've actually have some quotes on the website where a pope calls himself Caesar. But it goes a lot more graphically than that, as you can see on the Words of the Beast page. It gets into a little bit more detail in regards to what they consider themselves. Anyway, getting back to the article, it says the Vatican Embassy in Washington has asked the U.S. government to issue the immunity suggestion and do everything it can to get the case dismissed. As a result, Kaiser's motion was not unexpected. In the lawsuit, which names the former Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger as a defendant, the three plaintiffs claim that a Colombian-born seminarian on an assignment at St. Francis de Sales Church in Houston, Juan Carlos Patino Arango, molested them during counseling sessions in the mid-1990s. Many lawsuits stemming from the U.S. Church sex abuse crisis have named the Pope, the Vatican, and other high-ranking church officials, but they failed because the officials could never be served with the papers. This case got further than most recent ones because Ratzinger was served with the documents. Okay. Continuing, finishing up the art, well, not finishing it up, I don't think. Yeah, I got a couple of more little bits and pieces out of here, but it goes on to say that officials at the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See said they were familiar with the case but had no other immediate comment. The Vatican said it had no comment. Of course, it has no comment. Every time someone is guilty to the core, this is how they have to shout no comment so as to prevent future legal problems. If you open your mouth in the media during a scandal, everything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You truly never know what can hang you in the future in cases like this, so they clam up to help their defense. What amazes me most out of all this is that this has been going on for as long as most of us has been alive. This generation has seen crimes coming from this Vatican quite often, and lately their crimes have literally flooded the news with decadence only a pedophile could be proud of. Yet still you see hundreds of millions of people still claiming this church to be a church of Jesus Christ, a church that he would be proud of. I've got to ask the question then. Were any of the apostles child rapists? Did they murder anyone? Did they rob Brinks trucks? Did they embezzle funds? Did they give alcohol to children? Did they physically abuse them? Did they do any of the crimes the popes, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests, or the nuns have been convicted of while claiming to be the followers of Jesus Christ? This is what amazes me. If a group of murderers, smugglers, child rapists, and thieves were to start a religion today, would Catholics join their churches? No, of course they wouldn't. So I ask, why do they still stay in this church? That confuses me. They can no longer claim it's only the priests messing up when all the prelates, including their popes, have been doing the exact same crimes. So why do they stay in? I mean, think about it. Ratzinger's right now going through it, what John Paul II went through. And John Paul II got away with it because of his diplomatic immunity. But it's back in the media again. Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 1, verses 22 to 32 has to be the only plausible explanation to why people are staying in this church. It has to be the only reason I can think of. And it's scripture. Verses 22 to 32 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, like AIDS. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable or implacable, unmerciful, who knowing, now listen to this, this is how it ends up, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That passage describes Roman Catholicism in a nutshell. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying all Catholics are like this. A small portion of them are not, just like a small portion of the remnant is in every church. In fact, they're leaving this church as we speak. The only reason the remainder of those in the church are plentiful is because prophecy is short. It's accurate. Today's world is just like the days of Noah, as Jesus said it would be in Matthew 24, verse 37. The grand majority of the people on earth are evil, and their thoughts are evil continually. Continuing the article, it goes on to say that along with the Pope, the lawsuits named defendants Patino Arango and the Diocese of Galveston, Houston, Archbishop Joseph Fiorenza and Reverend William Pickard, Arango's vocational director. Patino Arango has been indicted in a criminal case by Harris County, Texas grand jury and is a fugitive from justice. You know, if I was a betting man, I would lay dollars to donuts you could find that man in the Vatican office. In fact, this is where all high-ranking war criminals went after Hitler's fiasco. So why not continue on with what works? It worked then. It'll work now. Perhaps this man will become Pope one day if the Lord tarries much longer. Impossible, you say? Well, truth is, Karl Wojtyła ran to the Vatican for war crimes after Hitler lost and was later crowned Pope John Paul II, as did Ratzinger, who also became Pope just recently. So odds are this man is in a good place right now as far as the Vatican prelates are concerned. And no, I am not being sarcastic, just historically accurate. The article goes on to say that the lawsuit alleges that Ratzinger, who headed the Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith before becoming Pope, was involved in a conspiracy to hide Patino Arango's crimes and to help him escape a prosecution. The lawsuit cites as May 18, 2001, a letter from Ratzinger written in Latin to bishops around the world explaining that grave crimes such as sexual abuse of minors would be handled by his congregation and that the proceedings of the special church tribunals handling the case were subject to pontifical secret. Amazing. They have it in writing that this pope is involved in hiding crimes as well as hiding the criminal, that there is talk via of the highest offices of American government about letting him off without so much as a slap to the wrist. There's evidence now. This man has vital information in tracking down a fugitive priest, Ratzinger does, and we are letting him off the hook. Is it any wonder he was elected pope? Another high-ranking scandal that emulates Cardinal Law's embarrassment would be quite the financial blow to Rome. Now do you see why John Paul II put the kibosh on the zero-tolerance proposal back in June of 2002? Had he allowed for zero-tolerance, Ratzinger would never be Pope today. His obvious criminal activity regarding child molestation would prevent that. Plus, zero-tolerance would also all but empty the Vatican coffers regarding priests. They would most assuredly have to employ women as priests if they are going to survive. But seeing how they are the ultimate in women haters, according to Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, where it says they will not like women, that's not likely ever to happen. Well, it looks like I'm not going to be able to finish this article. We're running completely out of time here. We only got a little over a minute left. And I'm not going to be able to get to your emails this week either, so I apologize for that. But one last thing. Soon, there's going to be a new page on the website called Still Molesting. It's going to be a page that I'll be listing all sorts of articles that the Vatican has somehow been unable to suppress in the media about their new molestation cases. That's right, I said new molestation cases. It seems the Vatican never stopped molesting the children at all. This is yet another blessing of John Paul II's decision to veto the zero-tolerance suggestion during the global scandal. So, keep your eyes on the website. Soon that page will be up and running. I've got quite a few articles to put on there already, but that's about it for this week for this broadcast. So I hope you enjoyed it. Please try to catch us again next week. If you're unable to catch the program as it's aired, go to the remnantofgod.org website. Click the Antique Radios on the main page. You can get to the archives from there. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry saying until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.